Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program, Today's Issues, here on American Family Radio. AFR.net is the website. We are broadcasting, also live video streaming on YouTube and Facebook. YouTube and Facebook, just type in Today's Issues, and you can watch the show there. And did we ever find that blog that... Okay, so if you heard our interview with J. Warner Wallace, Cold Case Christianity, last half hour, it was an excellent interview with him about prophecies in the Old Testament being fulfilled in the New Testament. And as we celebrate Christmas, I'm talking about related to the coming of Jesus Christ. If you go and you can go and read his blog, it's very interesting. We posted it on our Facebook page. So go to Today's Issues Facebook page, and Brent has posted that blog that J. Warner Wallace wrote, and you will want to read it, trust me.
By the way, I can't believe you were able to go that whole interview with J. Warner Wallace and not one time call him J. Vernon McGee. I kept thinking that. I really did. I kept thinking,
I
J. Vernon. No, not
and
J.
He's
Vernon
in Los
McGee.
Angeles.
It's J. Warner Wallace.
J. Vernon McGee, that guy has been dead for 20-something or longer, and he's still on radio. A lot of radio stations carry him. He was a, for those who don't know, he was a guy who started the, or maybe one of the few that does the expository, verse-by-verse Bible teaching for radio listeners. And he did that through the whole Bible. I remember listening to him in the 80s on a radio station. He was passed away then, I think.
Yeah.
But what was so funny to me listening to him was he was a pastor when he was doing this in Los Angeles at some church out there. Well, this guy was a country boy from Alabama, and you could tell it. You know what I'm saying? It was a pretty thick Southern accent that he broadcast with. It wasn't distracting.
Right.
Kind of charming, actually, his way he talked, and he was very endearing to the listening. He developed a
Huge following.
Still, even today, you can go on, go on the internet. We've even had people say, hey, y'all need to put J. Vernon McGee on AFR.
Yeah.
You know, maybe we will one day. I don't know, but...
If it's Bible, if it's verse by verse biblical exposition, it doesn't go out of style.
No, you know? You're right. I don't know what the recording quality would sound
that
like
would be
today. I just remember he used to love to use the word beloved.
Beloved.
But you remember that? Beloved.
Yeah.
A lot of pastors, Steve Jordahl. I'm sorry, Steve.
Hey,
good morning to you, brother.
Good morning.
A lot of pastors, especially, they had their favorite go-to words during the sermon. Charles Stanley, listen. Listen, if you watch him, and one of the greatest Bible teachers in the country.
Ever.
Right, Charles Stanley. If you listen to him.
I thought you were talking about the.
No, if you listen to Charles Stanley, watch how many times he says, listen.
Yeah.
And it's that word to get your attention, so you'll know this is important. But
I was thinking about the preacher up in Memphis.
Adrian Rogers.
I don't know what his. I'm just saying.
Adrian Rogers? Adrian Rogers has a word too that he. What is it he uses all the time? Anyway,
I used to have when I was preaching. When I was pastoring. I was always sit down and shut up back there. You.
Ed, that's why you graduated to some of the largest churches in America, right there.
That's right. Oh, thank you, Tim. No, hey, listen. I listened to J. Vernon McGee until he started wearing skinny jeans. And then that was it. I'm done.
You know, for what it's worth.
No, those kind of guys did not have to have gimmicks.
No.
Yeah.
For what it's worth, I've worked at many, many a radio station that has had dead people on the air and no one realizes it yet. So.
True.
You know. I didn't mean to get you sidetracked.
Somebody said, you know, Pastor Rogers passed away, 10 years ago or so? Adrian Rogers, great man of God from Memphis, Tennessee, who pastored the Bellevue Baptist Church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I remember we still hear his Bible teaching today.
Yeah.
Because as you said, Ed, it goes, you got something anointed of God like that.
Right.
It's timeless.
Yes.
And so we've still got that great baritone voice of Adrian Rogers on.
Yeah.
In the evenings, teaching the timeless truths of God's Word. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues here on American Family Radio. What was it Adrian Rogers always said? I'll think of it in a minute. But Steve, good morning to you, my friend.
It's a good day.
What do you got for us?
Well, I tell you, this is we're going to start from something from the You Had One Job file. A Southwest airline flight traveling from Seattle to Dallas was forced to turn around mid-flight Sunday after officials realized that a human heart had been left on the plane. It was destined for a transplant. Someone left it on the plane. See, I've got a coat, jacket, watch. I'm good. I got to text my wife to tell her I'm in Dallas.
Get my phone.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Tell me this. This is a human heart that's stored in the bin above the seat?
Well,
it's in one of those ice chests, probably.
Yes, it was in an ice
underneath
chest.
Underneath the seat.
I don't know where it was flying. What they say is the captain explained the heart was intended for delivery to a Seattle hospital.
Gotcha.
After a previous flight from Sacramento. Uh-huh. The heart went, it spent 3 hours in the air, went from California to Washington State, across Idaho and back to Washington. Yeah. And then they finally got it to the hospital in time. But then to add insult to injury, the life-critical cargo shipment was unloaded. Passengers were told to deplane as the aircraft had suffered an unrelated mechanical issue. They got to going after a five-hour delay. So they were on their way, they had to turn around over Idaho, but then when they landed, some mechanical issue, and they were 5 hours delayed there.
I left my heart.
Oh, man, that's so well.
Southwest Airlines.
That was so bad. It was good. Quick thinking.
Yeah. Hey, how would you like to be this lady? Her name is Avril Nolan. And she was she had her picture taken for a stock photography thing. It was for it was about 5 years ago.
Explain what stock photography is.
If magazines and other people use images that are available for purchase or rent or whatever, but it's just an image that you use. Like, for example, if you're doing a story about an airplane crash, you might use a stock photograph of the plane, of a plane that's just like the one that crashed.
Or if you're writing a story about families, you'd go to this website and you'd purchase a stock photo of a random family.
Right.
That would be the illustration.
Right.
Okay.
Well, Avril Nolan had her picture taken by the stock thing. And then she was devastated when a friend sent her a picture of her in an ad, and the ad said, "I am HIV positive."
Oh my
and
goodness.
"And I have rights." You know, she's not.
we've run into that here, the American Family Association Journal, our monthly magazine. You know, we'll cover issues, and I'll never forget, we were running a story about porn addiction.
Oh.
And so we went for a stock photo, and here's the photo of some hapless guy, his face clearly visible, you know, facing a computer screen.
Right.
You can't see what's on the screen, but you can see the guy's face.
And underneath it says porn addiction.
Yeah. So we said, "Man, how'd you like to be this guy?" This poor guy got a stock photo taken.
Well, she actually sued the HIV group that put her picture up there and was awarded $125,000 in damages.
Wow.
Yeah, so there's that. And then I want to, if I could, I want to bring back, after a long absence and a glorious revival of the Russia Files.
Oh, how I've missed that song.
It has been a while.
Skinny jeans boys need not apply for that choir right there.
That's right.
We have an android. His name is Boris, and on Russia's 24-hour news broadcast, he was lauded as the first android breakthrough. He was so lifelike. He had the ability to walk and to talk and to dance.
So the Russians are saying, look, we've advanced in terms of robotics.
Yes, look how good we've done. But it started running into problems. The shoe fell when they had a picture from behind, and there was a guy's neck that was clearly pictured inside the robot suit. But then they started looking back, and they said, you know, the robots have made, when it was dancing, it made so many unnecessary movements when it was showing off its dancing skills. clearly never having seen me dance. Many, many unnecessary.
All of your dancing moves are unnecessary.
Very, very much so. But the robot, in typical Soviet fashion, as if it was there, the robot reportedly disappeared from TV for a while.
Disappeared. Oh, man. Yeah. Wound up in a gulag somewhere.
That's right.
Yeah, no, I was looking at that. I sent this picture to you early this morning.
Yes.
I saw the picture, and it's this robot, and it looks like a real robot. And then underneath the helmet, you can make out a guy's neck.
Yeah.
And I thought, that is the craziest thing.
The company that makes the suit says, we make it so that it looks like it's very real. And apparently it fooled enough people for long enough. Yeah.
Boris and the other robot, Natasha.
Natasha. Boris and Natasha.
That's right.
Oh, my goodness.
By the way, we had somebody post, I believe, that Adrian Rogers, we were talking about that a while ago, the pastor, he used to use the word friends.
Friends.
All the time. Friends. Yeah. Friends, oh, friends. Yeah, that was one
what
of
What a great voice.
I can't say it. I sound like a
11-year-old
boy.
What's your catchphrase?
Yeah.
When you want people, if you're in our devotions, you want people to pay attention, what do you say, Tim?
You got to ask somebody else. Ed says, I said, what do I say?
Huh?
Huh? Huh?
Yeah. You'll say huh a lot. You'll say something like, an example from the last segment. So the Russians paid Bill Clinton $500,000, $500,000, and didn't expect anything back? Huh?
That's what I say.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
I used to say, so you know what I mean, a lot. And, you know, but am I the only one that has these?
Well, no, apparently Adrian Rogers has one,
tendencies?
Too.
Yeah.
every good preacher does.
What are you looking at?
Yeah. What are you looking at?
What are you looking at?
What are you looking at? Which endears him to the staff here as he goes for the popcorn machine, coffee.
What are you looking
travels
at?
Travels around the office, visiting with people and asking them.
You got to say? You got something you want to say to me? What are you looking at?
Right. If that doesn't build friendships among staff, I don't know what does right there.
That's right.
All right. What's next?
Boy, the Boy Scouts are suffering. The Boy Scouts of America. What? The Boy Scouts of America are considering having to file bankruptcy after their insurance companies are not coming up with some money that they have to pay out for alleged sex abuse things. But really, the downfall started a while back when they decided to allow gay scouts and scoutmasters. They were doing just great until then, and the Mormons pulled out, which are a big customer. They had a lot of troops and other churches, and the bottom has fallen out of the Boy Scouts.
In terms of membership.
In terms of membership. This is way down.
This is a catastrophe. This is a tragedy, because that was a God-honoring institution until political correctness got a hold of it, and until social engineers took over the organization and changed it, shifted its entire foundation, and destroyed it.
And do you know who contributed to this, honestly? Rex Tillerson.
He was one
of the board members of the Boy Scouts of America when he was with ExxonMobil or something.
Yes,
he advocated for letting openly.
Former Secretary of State for President Trump.
He advocated for allowing openly homosexual scout leaders. And so forth.
Now, we hit the Boy Scouts for a number of years as it became clear. I'm talking about American Family Association, American Family Radio. As it became clear they were considering this move. And I want you to know, I speak for the ministry in this, we take no joy in being right about what would happen. Because this is a tragic situation.
Right.
And this is going to...
It didn't have to be this way.
It didn't have to be this way.
And for years it wasn't. I mean, for years I would cover the Boy Scouts and I'd call them every time they got sued because they had a ship or a boat in a dock in Philadelphia and they didn't want the boat there and because the Boy Scouts were against allowing gays and in the ranks and they stood firm there. And I remember talking often to them. Greg Shields was the spokesman for the Boy Scouts at the time, and just a solid, solid group. And then all of a sudden, maybe because of Rex or something, they just decided to go. And this is a direct
and they've been sued.
Direct line.
They've been sued even by the Girl Scouts of America because in order to try to bump up membership, the Boy Scouts has opened its ranks to girls. Well, now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with boys and girls belonging to the same club.
Except for the camping trips.
Except that for might the be camping trips. But this was the Boy Scouts, and boys are not as many boys want to belong, probably because of the moral views of their parents. And so the Boy Scouts tried to expand their membership by having girls in, and now the Girl Scouts is suing the Boy Scouts.
They're in trouble all over the place. And in fact, the boys, it was the purpose was to put boys together and develop manly qualities, qualities of caring, qualities of protection, qualities of skill, things that you just want to, at the beginning, that you want to put into your young men.
Right.
Wall Street Journal that's writing about this has exactly the wrong. In fact, it's interesting. They write, participation in the organs programs has fallen in recent years, though the group has opened some of its programs to girls and transgender boys. And then they say the Boy Scout group has drawn scrutiny over its slow pace to become more inclusive. The reason that they're falling is because they weren't slow enough. They did it at all.
Yes, that's true.
It is
and,
so sad.
And I disagree with the Wall Street Journal on this, too. It wasn't a slow shift. This wasn't like turning an aircraft carrier. This was a pretty rapid movement. The decision kind of came, boom, like that, and they switched.
And I think what the Wall Street Journal is saying, they held on longer than many other organizations did. That might have been the slow course. By the way, folks, if you're looking for something to do with your young men, and there's a women's girls version of this as well, Trail Life USA is some great stuff. We got a friend of mine, John Stenberger, down in Florida, who's doing a lot of good stuff with that group, and it is a Christian-based.
TrailLifeUSA.org?
I believe so.
Yeah, and the girls is American Heritage Girls,
American
right?
American Heritage Girls, right.
Yeah, I was reading this story about Rex Tillerson, the former Secretary of State, and he was the former CEO of Exxon. He was one of the main players he's an Eagle Scout himself.
Yeah.
But he was on the board of directors of the Boy Scouts, and he pushed for openly homosexual leaders.
Yeah.
And for openly homosexual members,
yeah,
boys, and he was really the force behind this. So, you know, for all the other good things that he may have done in his life, Rex Tillerson, I would say this is a.
And just to make our point here, and this is the point we made, because some people say, well, why can't, you know, homosexual boys want to learn how to be scouts too? Well, our argument was always, you don't put people who are attracted to a gender in the same tent, okay? So you wouldn't put boys and girls in the same tent in a sleepover, and you shouldn't put boys who are attracted to other boys in the same tent either. And then there was the additional thing with the homosexual scout leaders. We did not believe that teaching that and portraying that to young men
would have been healthy. Homosexual behavior is not morally straight.
Right. Not trying to be funny with the pun either.
No, but isn't that one of the?
It used to be.
Isn't that one of the values that in the Scout Pledge? I've forgotten it exactly.
Be morally straight.
Isn't that true?
Yes,
it used to be. It's no longer.
Okay, well, the act of homosexual behavior is not morally straight.
Right.
So that's a contradiction there to me. Now, people may listen to me, may say, I don't agree with that.
Right.
Well, that's fine. I'm just telling you what the Bible says.
Right.
All right, and if you don't believe the Bible, then that's fine too. You know, you're free to believe or not believe, but the Bible clearly says that homosexual behavior is sin.
Right.
And there's no ambiguity about that. Doesn't mean God doesn't love homosexuals and is willing to forgive.
Right.
And help people who are in that lifestyle. And quite frankly, it also lists some other things in there.
Right.
Heterosexual people who are living a sexually immoral lifestyle.
Right.
That's also condemned.
Yes.
In the same Bible verses.
Right.
Now, if you read Romans chapter 1 in the New Testament, it talks about this being unnatural. So, you know, we're not being hateful or mean-spirited here. If you want to categorize what I've just said in those terms, all I'm doing is telling you what the Bible teaches and what Christianity has taught for 2,000 years.
Yes.
It's only the last 10 years or so that these new theologians, quote, have come along, some even in evangelical Christian circles, and said, no, homosexuality is the same as heterosexuality.
Right.
And that's never been the teaching of the church. So anyway, just wanted to clear that up. What else you got, Steve?
I've got a remarkable letter. You know that the church in China is suffering some deep persecution. And in fact, some 100 Christians in the Sichuan province, I believe, were snatched off the street. I have a letter from a detained Chinese pastor. His name is Pastor Wang Yi. And I'd like to read it. Bear with me here. I've got a couple paragraphs I'd like to read for you guys.
What are you reading from again?
This is a letter from a detained Chinese pastor whose church was just raided. It is called My Declaration of Faithful Disobedience. He says, I am filled with anger and disgust at the persecution of the church by this communist regime, but changing social and political institutions is not the mission I have been called to, and it is not the goal for which God has given his people the gospel. He says, The calling I've received requires me to use nonviolent methods to disobey those human laws that disobey Bible and the God. My Savior also requires me to joyfully bear all costs for disobeying wicked laws. Regardless of what crime the government charges me with, whatever filth they fling at me, as long as the charge is related to my faith, my writings, my comments, and my teachings, it is merely a lie and the temptation of demons. I categorically deny it. I will serve my sentence, but I will not serve the law. I will be executed, but I will not plead guilty. If this regime is one day overthrown by God, it will be for no other reason than God's righteous punishment and revenge for this evil. For no one on earth has ever been, there has only ever been a thousand-year church. There has never been a thousand-year government. There is only eternal faith. There is no eternal power. Separate me from my wife and children, ruin my reputation, destroy my life, my family. The authorities are capable of doing all these things. However, no one in this world can force me to renounce my faith. No one can make me change my life. No one can raise me from the dead. And so, respectful officers, stop committing evil. This is not for my benefit, but rather for yours and your children's. Jesus is Christ, the Son of the eternal living God. He died for sinners and rose for life. He is my king and my king of the whole earth, yesterday, today, and forever. I am his servant, and I am imprisoned because of this. I will resist in meekness those who resist God, and I will joyfully violate all laws that violate God's laws. The Lord's servant, Wang Yi.
So this is a faithful, obviously, and courageous Chinese pastor who's been arrested.
Mm-hmm.
His church ransacked, and other members probably arrested by the communist Chinese government. And this is a letter that he has written. Do you have
it's
any
an
idea how this became public?
The Christian Daily Reporter got a copy of it. I don't know where he...
Must have been smuggled out.
It probably was smuggled out.
But that is a bold Christian witness.
It's a three-page... Right, I was reading selected paragraphs. It's a three-page letter, and all of it is just phenomenal.
Where can we post it on our...
Absolutely.
You got it up? Okay. It's on our Facebook page, Today's Issue.
Yes,
Thank you, Steve.
You bet.
All right. My thanks to Steve Jordahl, Ed Battagliano. Ed, what are you looking at, Battagliano?
What are you looking at?
What you looking at?
You gotta kind of throw a little New Jersey in there.
Gotcha. And Brent Creeley has been our board operator / producer today. Again, thanks for Fred and his contributions earlier. And we shall... Is it Friday already? Tomorrow?
Tomorrow's Friday, if you can believe it.
So we got some learning university. Classwork
learning to do
to take care of tomorrow. So we'll see you back here then. Have a great day, everybody.